week in new music and the world's best releases.
This is 2012
with Richard Kingsmill
on Triple J. My quietly hope for change with violence is the rhythm inspired me to obtain the silence in this room with 20 zannies and strolls and grown up candy. I lost it. I feel it's nothing to lose. The street short to release the worst side of my best. Don't mind, cause now you up on your neck. The good kid, man.
On Triple J, that is Kendrick Lamar and Good Kid from the album Good Kid, Mad City. The 25-year-old from Los Angeles is such a buzz act at the moment. The guy is getting talked about right around the world with the release of his first major label album, Good Kid, Mad City. This guy put out an independent album called Section 80 last year. A lot of people were getting excited by what he was coming up with on that, but he's just blowing everyone away with the release that he's just come out with in the last month or so. He is going to be in the country the week after next. I just wanted to jump on with him this week and have a quick chat with him to find out a little bit about his ideas behind this album, because it's a heavily autobiographical album. He comes from Compton in Los Angeles, which isn't one of the salubrious parts of Los Angeles. In fact, it's got a pretty bad reputation. NWA were famous from coming from Compton, and Dr. Dre, being one of the members of NWA, was originally from Compton, and now Dr. Dre is working with Kendrick Lamar, and I spoke to him a little bit about that and the rest of this album which he's come up with. So when I spoke to him this week, I only had 10 minutes with him. It was pretty quick, and also the phone line was pretty dodgy as well, so parts of this might be a little bit hard to understand, but this is basically the conversation I had with Kendrick Lamar this week. And I started by asking him if he was surprised that right around the world now people are talking about him.
I kind of expected you off the fact, you know, there's a different shift I want to bring to the game, and whenever you do something original in today's time, you know, it have more like impact.
So you're expecting this record to generate a much bigger buzz around you?
Yeah, definitely.
Did that affect the way that you approached making the record?
Yeah, definitely. I wanted to do something that was original from the times where I used to listen to a lot of albums. I seen the part of the game that was lacking that. You know, I just really wanted to focus and bring that back to it. So when I went in with the idea, I knew for a fact, you know, it'd be something creative, you know, and it'd also stand out, you know, eventually get me to Australia and have that much more of an impact.
You've been very open in the writing of this record. It really has documented a big part of your life. That was obviously a big part of coming into this record and making it.
Yeah, definitely. More of an autobiography about myself and my city and, you know, the things I learned that made me who I am today.
So how was it writing that material? Did you find that a very easy process?
Yes, part of time it got a little bit easy, but some spots it was hard because, you know, there's certain situations that I didn't want to share with the world. And I had to find intricate ways, you know, not to give it all away, you know, but still give you a detail of who I am if you're a new listener.
So there are some aspects of your childhood and your growing up that you did sort of keep off this record?
Yeah. Just a little bit, you know. Keep it interesting. I might put it down along with the lines of my next albums, you know. But I just really want to make it short and sweet. You know, not too drawn out for the first album.
Now that the record's out and everyone's kind of analysing the lyrics and listening to the music, have you had any second thoughts about stuff that you have revealed?
No, not at all. You know, I was 100% sure what I wanted to talk about once I said it, you know, once I made the decision, you know. So once it got out there, it was already set in stone.
Writing about Compton and being very open about growing up in Compton, does it feel good to kind of relay a lot of that information to the world? Because there's obviously a preconceived idea of what Compton's like. Did you feel like you had a responsibility to give it a very accurate portrayal?
I had a responsibility to, you know, bring something new, bring a different story to what everybody, you know, used to hearing. You only hear so many times about the person, a direct person talking about glorifying street credibility, but, you know, it's always, you know, the people that's in between that and right in the middle of that. And that was a story that was really untold, you know, from the perspective of a young man trying to escape the temptations rather than glorifying it. I think that was a responsibility in itself, because it was a bunch of the city that wasn't really spoke upon, you know, and that's what I want to do with this album.
Was it hard for you growing up? Was it hard to really escape those temptations?
Yeah, it definitely was hard. You know, you got to have a lot of mental stability, you know, good people around you. Really, it's really based on yourself, you know, what you want in life. So it definitely was difficult, but I did it, you know, through the positivity of doing music.
And is it right to say that your father was a big part of influencing you to take the right moral ground in life?
Yeah, definitely. He definitely was a great influence, just off the respect I have for him. You know, he's always right there, you know, to tell me the wrongs and rights. He's been through it all. So at the end of the day, I was a young buck. You know, he's the OG. Basically just showed me the ropes, you know, showed me how to maneuver through it, and I made it doing just that, following his words.
And did he basically share a lot of that information and a lot of that wisdom? Did he do that from a very early age for you?
Yeah, he always threw hints out there, you know, on what I should be doing. But it really sunk in with me when I got, you know, as far as the teenage years, you know. That's when he really started, you know, pressing this line about me becoming a better person, because he knew I was going to fall in the same, you know, trap that he fell in by the time I got 18, 21.
Sometimes when you grow up, you can listen to your father's words and not really kind of have those words resonate with you. You can kind of think that you know everything. Were you different? Did you actually know to take his advice on board?
At first, you know, it was, I definitely was in that mode where I didn't really listen to it. I think the more I experienced, the more I knew, you know, he was right. Things that he was saying. So I had to go out there and bump my head a few times to really recognize what he was talking about was the truth.
You must have seen a lot of friends, a lot of people you grew up with go down the wrong path.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. 80% of them, only a few left I can still talk to and reminisce with.
Do you feel like, with Compton, do you feel like there's hope for the future? What sort of outlook do you have for the future of a place like Compton?
Really just turning it into a more, you know, a place, you know, a culture as far as the music, keeping that culture alive. But, you know, through doing it, having that culture being some type of positivity gateway, you know, for people to make better with their own lives. I think this music is just a stepping stone for me to motivate others, you know, to do what they want to do in life, you know, as far as something, you know, creative, innovative. Once I do that, you know, and spark that idea in the brains of these kids out here, then the city will change eventually within itself. But now it's just a start.
Yeah, and obviously someone like Dr. Dre would have been a huge role model as well for a lot of kids coming through in Compton. I actually wanted to touch on a story I read. I want to see if it's true or not, that you and your father actually, that when you were a small kid, you actually met Dr. Dre.
Yeah, definitely. I met Dr. Dre. I seen him on a video set with Tupac, Dr. Dre and Tupac, California Love video set. They was in Compton. It was just a spectrum of people out there watching them as they shoot this video, and I was one of the kids that was out there. And on my father's neck, you know, being inspired, you know, that these people that I see on TV every day actually came back, you know, to the city and showed their faces, letting us know that they was real. So eventually it probably inspired me to be a, you know, artist, who knows, you know, but I knew that was a monumental day for me.
He's obviously been working with you closely the last couple of years on your career. What's it like working with him now?
Great feeling. You know, inspired me to be a perfectionist, inspired me to go harder, be a better artist, and off the record, be a better person. So it's a great thing.
Listen, Kendrick, fantastic to speak to you. Wish we could speak longer. This record is fantastic. We're loving it out here. So look forward to seeing you in the country in a couple of weeks' time.
Thank you.
Okay, all the best. Bye, Kendrick.
Appreciate you.
Now everybody serenade the new faith of Kendrick Lamar. This is King Kendrick Lamar. King Kendrick, and I meant it, my point intended is raw. Fix your lenses, forensics would have told you Kendrick had killed it. Pretend it's a massacre, and the mass is upon us. And I master being the master at dodging your honor. In the chapter that read at 25, I would live dormant like 5 in the morning. The raging spot while Kendrick's performing. And if they take everything, no, I got caught.